It's 11:30, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
Wow, can you believe how quick the time's gone again, Darren?
It's a great show this morning, a great many guests from the local area, and we have another one for you as well.
We do, and it's really great to have on the line Tanya Silveria, the City of Parramatta Australia Day Ambassador. It's incredible to have such wonderful people to tell their story. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're absolutely delighted. We're delighted because your story is one that really resonates with us, because what you're doing is trying to help people's lives in every way, whether they're First Nation, whether multicultural, whether they're dealing with a disability. Your love and wide spectrum of community involvement is and does not have any boundaries. And we here at Spotlight want to thank you for that, because we've looked at your biography and it is really incredible. So let me tell you, or let me ask you if I can, Tanya, your life has been an enriching one. Tell us about your journey to date of growing up in Australia.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for that beautiful introduction. I guess my life in Australia commenced when I was born, really. So my parents moved to Australia.
That does help, Tanya.
It started when I was born. My parents moved to Australia when, about a year before I was born, and they moved from India, bringing along my brother who was born in India. And, I felt very fortunate that my family and extended family decided to move here, because there is so much opportunity that we've been so fortunate to be part of in shaping our lives and our knowledge and just our experience in general. And I guess my biggest, or our family's biggest gratitude and point of gratitude, is to the First Nations people, because this is their land, and we feel so fortunate and so blessed to have been brought up and to have a life on this land. So, you know, in giving back to the community, whether it is in collaborating with First Nations people and through amplifying voices of people who experience adversity, it's just a very small token that I can do to give back, to express my gratitude to just be in this land.
And can I just say, Tanya, on behalf of Darren and myself, thank you for those beautiful words, because it really turns around on respect. It turns around on being humble and being very grateful for what our community and this beautiful country we have can offer. Mm-hmm. And what you're really saying to us is, yes, it does offer this, but I want to give back. And I think the role that you're doing with regards to the City of Parramatta is one in which you're bringing that respect and continuing on those values to continue to build a community that benefits as many people as possible. And we thank you for that.
Mm. Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, very small token, but there's always more work to do, isn't there?
Well, Margaret Mead, a great anthropologist, says, never underestimate what a small group of people can do to change a society. And I think people like yourself, Darren and I get to interview hundreds of people over a year, and we're just very grateful that you continue the values that both Darren and I have for our radio show Spotlight. So let's move on a little bit. I'm going to ask you a question, and I hope you don't mind, but tell us about your parents, because they clearly have had a big impact on your life.
My mum and dad are both from India, so they were actually from a very similar area, from Goa, actually.
Yes.
They're just both really hardworking, encouraging people, and, you know, even, you know, just to be very transparent, even though I've realised as an adult that I've experienced conscious and unconscious biases over the course of my life, I never thought that I couldn't do anything, because my parents always encouraged my brother and my sister and I to do whatever we wanted to do. We always thought we could do whatever we wanted to do. So I think, you know, that's the best possible way to be brought up, just to think of yeah, life and all the opportunities that are just kind of waiting for you. But yeah, they're from a place called Goa in India, which is just such a beautiful, beautiful place. And then they were brought up in Mumbai. And yeah, they decided to come to Australia with some of my aunties and uncles, and everyone's all kind of set up here now. And yeah, I just feel very, very fortunate to have such a close relationship with both of my parents and my family. So yeah, both very musical as well, I must say, because they're from Goa. So I don't know how much you guys know about Goa, but a lot of Goans are quite musical, and there's a big influence of jazz as well. So that's kind of what I was brought up on.
And that's what I want to just lead into. You know, your parents, you paint a beautiful picture. What you're saying about your parents, they walked with you, not in front of you. And they've helped you and your family to have those values. And you can't replicate those when you haven't got them. And so if I can just say congratulations to your parents, because that is really what we want for our children. So thanks for sharing that. I'm really interested for your love of music, and you did mention that your parents played a very big role, because we're going to go to a break reasonably soon and then talk about how you're doing a PhD with regards to looking at music therapy and strokes. And so I'm going to find, and Darren will find that very interesting, how you tell that story. But tell us about your parents and what that daily ritual was like with the Goan music, particularly jazz.
Well, I guess it's kind of a funny story now that I reflect upon it as an adult, because we were basically forced to learn music. There was no choice. And now thinking about it, you know, people look at music as a luxury, but my parents came here as migrants and they didn't have that much money, but they prioritized our music education and instrument learning. So it's a really interesting thing to think about, because I think sometimes people think to engage in music comes from like a position of privilege and financial backing, but actually it's a really intrinsic part of who we are, because we're all intrinsically musical. So we would, you know, at family gatherings, we'd have no say in it, but we'd have to, you know, play some of our pieces. There's always like lots of singing. You know, this is obviously pre-COVID time. Everyone would burst into harmonies, whether we're just singing happy birthday or we're singing a song, you know, just a classic song that we all know. And yeah, we, you know, even my almost 90-year-old granduncle, who's now in Melbourne with his family, you know, he's still playing jazz piano, because it's just such a part of us and such a part of who we are. And it's interesting as well, and funny to reflect on the point that now I realize I met my fiance playing in a jazz ensemble as well. So it's all kind of interconnected throughout my whole life, I suppose. But yeah, jazz is a huge influence, and I guess that communication of jazz through improvising is so so beautiful. But I also see it in my kind of music therapy work as well, through that improv music as a language kind of aspect as well.
Tanya, thanks for sharing that, because we're going to come back, we're going to play a song and have a little break. We're going to come back and find out a little bit more about you.
Alive 90.5. It's 16 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren. You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and we're talking with the City of Parramatta Australia Day Ambassador, Tanya Silveria, who's giving us a great expressive rendition of her life that's led her to be a great ambassador for the people in Western Sydney. But moreover, we want to now explore a bit about her background and her work in music therapy. Now, Tanya, we understand you're doing the great thing that a lot of people do, and that's education and working on a PhD, one of the pinnacles of education. Why are you doing that, and what are you doing? Please share with our listeners the things you're doing in the world of music therapy.
Yeah, so I think it's important to firstly start by saying I never thought I'd do a PhD. the thought of going into more like study, like endless study and research. Oh, it just, the thought of it didn't really excite me. I was always interested in research and like engaged with it a bit, but I never thought I'd did a PhD. But I guess the turning point for me was through that, I guess, that lens of advocacy. So I worked with a stroke survivor many years ago in my clinical work, who was actually quite a well-established piano player. And she had, yeah, quite a horrible stroke, which left her with one-sided weakness in the body. And I wanted to find a way to give her, you know, her hand function back, to be able to engage with music again, because it was something that was, you know, so central to her identity. So I sort of collaborated with my manager, who was a physio in her kind of clinical training, and created this intervention that actually gave this stroke survivor more motor output. So even though she couldn't really move her hand and her fingers, this method that we created allowed for that. And then, you know, within 6 or 7 months, she was back to playing with two hands on the piano, and that just inspired me that someone like her, who'd been through all of that, was able to get back to that passion and continue on with her life. And I just wanted to, I suppose, advocate for change and change the medical system, which is, you know, not an easy feat. So I decided to do a PhD.
That's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Tanya, So if we look at your research, if I can just say in very humble terms, you're really trying, what's your key question in that research? You're trying to look for relationships or experience, or are you trying to see if there is a relationship between stroke recovery and music therapy? Is that what you're trying to do? What's really driving you through that process?
Yeah, so the essence of the research is basically just using music therapy to work with stroke survivors to help them with their physical recovery as well as their emotional well-being. Because a lot of people who do have quite severe strokes end up having something called post-stroke depression. So I think it's really important to look at both the physical recovery and the well-being. And because music is, you know, so intrinsically within us, it's a beautiful avenue to do both things.
We wish you all the very best with regards to your research. When do you hope to finish your doctorate?
Well, I'm looking through the results at the moment, actually. So hopefully, yeah, this year it should be all done and dusted and out into the world.
when you're finished, we would love you to come and talk about specifically the results that you found and other areas that you want to explore going forward. Just amazing.
So, Tanya, it's Darren here.
I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. So I'm an engineer and I'm a bit of a technologist, and I was watching your TEDx talk, and we'll post that on our podcast page so others can look at it as well and get some more background. But the way you brought in the technology into your work and research fascinated me. Do you want to just explain it a bit for our listeners so they can understand how you're stitching that all together?
Yeah, so the technology that I'm drawing upon, well, the main technology is an iPad. So, I mean, a lot of people do have access to iPads these days, and I guess the bottom line of the benefit of an iPad in stroke recovery for someone who has basically no movement is the fact that iPads are really touch sensitive. So I figured out that there was a way of just, you know, resting the hand on this iPad instrument that I use, so just a musical sounding app, and in encouraging the person to just imagine movement, because I didn't have that kind of observable movement, the notes were changing on the iPad, and it was super exciting because it showed us, and I guess what we're inferring is that because the iPad's so touch sensitive, even really subtle flickers of muscle activation in the hand are picked up. So all of a sudden, people are like, I can't see my hand moving, but I can hear something's happening. So maybe there is a bit of hope to get some kind of movement.
So there's some sort of,
and so I've,
So I was just going to say there's some sort of feedback loop there happening that traditional therapies was not picking up on because of the element of the feedback to the stroke victim of that music.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is, a feedback loop. And so what's happening in the brain is that instead of just, you know, looking to activate one part of the brain, so say the motor part of the brain, which is what activates when you move, you're activating the auditory part of the brain as well, which is the, you know, you're receiving the sound, but you're also activating the visual part of the brain because you're looking at the feedback from the iPad. So you're recruiting all these different parts of the brain and all of a sudden they're working really hard together rather than on their own. So that kind of increases the chance for some kind of changes in the brain, which is super exciting because it's also really, you know, fun and engaging and motivating as well.
Tanya, we've come to that end with our time, and it's been an enjoyable experience having you tell us about your story, being, you know, the ambassador for Parramatta, the ambassador for Australia Day for Parramatta. It's just been amazing. Your doctoral studies and the wonderful benefits potentially that future generations are going to obtain because of your gifts of intelligence and determination brought to you from your family and those values. We're going to ask you one very difficult question off the records, and I hope you can help us with how you would respond. And that question is, you're going to have dinner tonight with three people that you'd really love to have dinner with. Who would they be and why?
Oh, what a great question. I've never been asked this before. I would have to say Kamala Harris, Malala Yousafzai, and Alexandria O.C. I can never pronounce her name, but from the States. And I guess I'd choose those three if I had to restrict it to just three, because they're just inspiring women of colour who have just paved the way in leadership and advocacy, and it would just be, incredible to be in their presence and to just learn from them.
Well, thank you. I put you on the spot. Darren and I put you on the spot, and your answer is incredible. We wish you all the very best, and we do hope that you can come back and join us at a later date, you know, towards the middle of the year. Hopefully you'll be finished, particularly towards the end of the year. Tanya Silveria, thanks for joining us on Spotlight with Darren and Jim on 90.5 today.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
Alive 90.5.